Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, verse 14 through chapter 3, verse 6. I encourage you to grab your pew Bible from in front of you if you didn't bring one with you, or if you brought your Bible, just open it up and follow along with me as I read to you the word of the Lord. Since the children have flesh and blood, he, Jesus Christ, too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest, whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house, if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God indeed. Well, this morning we are concluding our spring sermon series, The Glory of the Atonement. Centuries ago, the early church fathers designated the 50 days following Easter Sunday and leading up to Pentecost as the season of Easter. They recognized that it takes more than one day or morning to contemplate all that the resurrection of Christ means for our lives and our world. Throughout this series, we've been seeking to explore the wonder and glory of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Over the course of this series, we've seen that the atonement was always God's plan, that because of Christ's sacrifice of his body, the only sacrifice we need to offer is our lives, that the atonement enables us to finally have that for which we were originally created, fellowship, true union and communion with God and with each other. And last week we saw that through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, we are given a sure and certain salvation. As we've explored this doctrine of the atonement over the course of this series, we've seen that the atonement is one of, if not the, central truth of the Christian faith. It is a rich theological reality, one that separates Christianity from every other religion in the world. But that theological uniqueness can also leave us thinking that it might be one of those truths that, while being important, doesn't necessarily have a lot of value in our everyday in-and-out rhythm of our lives. But nothing could be further from the truth. As we look at our passage from Hebrews this morning, we will see that we are able to take courage and have hope because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ. Now, if you've grown up as a Christian or have been following Christ for really any reasonable period of time, it's pretty likely that you have a sense, at least a basic sense, of the importance of the atonement. If Jesus hadn't lived a perfect life, if he hadn't died on the cross, if he wasn't raised from the dead, then our sins wouldn't have been paid for and we would still be estranged from God and trying and failing to adequately make up for our sinful brokenness all on our own. So we know this isn't just a doctrinal truth that we believe. This is the very essence and core of our faith as Christians. And while we know that, if there were no atonement, we wouldn't be sitting here this morning. I wonder, how much difference does the atonement really make in the midst of the daily grind of our weeks and our lives? The atonement is essential to my faith, but does it really mean anything when I'm driving up and down Route 29? Or dealing with obnoxious coworkers? Or trying to pass SOLs in final exams in school? Our passage this morning answers that question with a resounding yes. In verses 16 and 17, we read, "For surely it is not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants. For this reason he had to be made like his brothers in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people." It's somewhat obvious, I think. If Jesus had come to save angels, well, then he would have appeared as an angel. But he didn't. He came to save Abraham's descendants. He came to save human beings. He came to save us. And so he came as one of us, fully and completely human. Anything less than fully human, and he wouldn't have been able to make atonement for our sins. Now, of course, he is also fully divine. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been able to live a sinless life. But our focus this morning is on his humanity. We read that he had to be made like his brothers in every way. He was as fully and completely human as you or I. He got hungry, thirsty, tired, stressed. Remember, he was a carpenter's son. When he hit his thumb with a hammer, it hurt. Just like us. If he stayed out in the sun too long, he got sunburn. Just like us. He felt the full range of human emotion. He experienced everything that we experience. Because of his humanity, Jesus is both the high priest that is making the atoning sacrifice, and he is the atoning sacrifice himself. The atoning sacrifice that fully, completely, and effectively atones for our sins, our past, our present, and our future sins. But the humanity of Jesus Christ does more than that. It enables us to take courage for today and to have hope for tomorrow. You see, because of the atoning work of Jesus Christ, we can have courage for today because Jesus knows the sufferings and the temptations we face every day. Verse 18 declares that because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, when we say that Jesus experienced everything that we experience, we mean that quite literally, even to the point of the same temptations we experience. Do we mean that literally? Well, of course not. Jesus was never tempted to be addicted to a cell phone. Right? Because to have a cell phone, you have to have electricity, and they didn't. Right? But is addiction really all that different whether we're addicted to cell phones or to alcohol or gambling or whatever else might come our way? Well, kind of no. Addiction is addiction. So when we tell Jesus that we're struggling to fight the temptation to feed our addictions, he knows what that means because he was tempted the same way. And that's the point of this. Jesus knows. He knows what it's like to be tempted and to suffer. He knows what it's like to be rejected by family, by friends, by your hometown, by your own people. He knows what it's like to be mocked, to be hated, to be reviled. He knows the subtle deception of temptation that sounds so very good, but can never come through on what it promises. He knows depths of temptation that we cannot even begin to comprehend. And He knows the pain of being asked by God to do something that you really don't want to have to do. Remember in the garden, He sweat drops of blood from the stress and pleaded with God that this cup would be taken from Him. But not my will, but yours be done. Over the past 9 months or so, since you called me as your pastor, I've begun to know some of your stories, bits and pieces here and there. Some of your stories I'm able to relate to. Some of your stories cause my heart to break for the pain and the hurt that some of you carry every day. Some of your stories, to be honest, I really can't relate to or comprehend what you're going through. I do my best to try, but I haven't had the same experiences that you have had. And so sometimes it's difficult. But Jesus has. And Jesus does. He knows. And He understands. And because He knows and understands, He cares. He cares. And because He cares, He has mercy on us. He cares and has mercy and is able to help us in our sufferings and our temptations. Take courage, brothers and sisters, because Jesus knows. He cares. He has mercy. And He will help you when you call out to Him. But it isn't just about taking courage for today. Through the atoning work of Jesus Christ, we are also able to have hope for tomorrow because Jesus has defeated the power of death. Verses 14 and 15. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. You see, His humanity just doesn't just enable Him to understand, relate, empathize, and therefore have mercy. Because of His humanity, He has also destroyed him who holds the power of death, the devil. How does that work? Well, as Paul writes in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's why we die. Because we sin. If you sin, you die. If you don't sin, then... Oh, come on, guys. Help me out here. Be bold. If you don't sin, you don't die. There you go. You got it. Jesus may have been tempted just like we were, but He never sinned. That's an important distinction. Remember that. Being tempted isn't sinful. That's life. It is falling into temptation where we get into sin. Jesus was tempted just like we are, but He never sinned. He never fell into the temptation. Not one single time. And since He is also fully God and was born of a virgin, He doesn't carry the taint of original sin like we do. So Jesus, fully God and equally fully human, lived the perfect life we were meant to live. A life of perfect obedience to God and aligned with God. So, Jesus never sinned. Therefore, Jesus should never have died. You guys are getting this. This is great. But what happened? Jesus did what? He died. But that never should have happened. Because He died, and He wasn't supposed to die, He broke He shattered the power of death forever. Yes, we still die a physical death because sin is still in this world and in our hearts. But the devil's power over death has been broken. And the significance of that should never be lost on any of us. Because of his death, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus set free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. I think our culture is obsessed with the fear of death. And for the most part, doesn't even know that it is. We live our lives, if you'll pardon me for saying it this way, deathly afraid of death. For some of us, that fear has led us to do everything we possibly can to put death off as long as possible. We eat healthy. We do terrible things in the name of health, like eating kale. Why? We exercise. We avoid chemicals that they tell us might possibly cause cancer, which led to really terrible decisions, like getting rid of red M&Ms. Thank goodness we saw reason. Others attempt to face the fear of death by living on the edge of death, attempting to mock death itself. Some choose to try to embrace all that life has to offer, never mind the consequences, because what? Hashtag YOLO. You only live once. Others retreat and hide, never taking any chances, never taking any risks, almost afraid to go out the front door to go to the grocery store. The best news they've heard is that Amazon now delivers groceries to you. Maybe your fear of death has left you in a different place than the ones that I've just mentioned. Regardless, afraid of death we are. But we don't have to be. In fact, we shouldn't be. We can have hope for tomorrow because Jesus' death broke the power of death in the world. Therefore, we can live our lives free of the slavery that comes from the fear of death. We can be truly free, not because we choose to ignore the consequences, but because the ultimate consequence no longer has any power over us. We might die a physical death, but what awaits those saved by Jesus Christ on the other side? An eternity spent with Jesus and all the saints who've gone before us and will come after us. Now, this isn't an eternity spent sitting on a cloud, strumming a harp. I have no idea who started that bizarre idea. I don't know about you, but that does not sound like heaven to me at all. And thank goodness that's not what Scripture says either. It's eternity spent the way life was supposed to be from the very beginning, basking in the love and the joy of the presence of our Savior and our God, right here on the new earth where heaven has come down, delighting in all that God has to offer us forever and ever. It might sound strange to say, but one of my favorite moments of the past week was visiting Roger in the hospital. As he didn't know, the last I visited him, he didn't know how imminent his death was. But every time I asked him, he said, "I'm in Jesus' hands. I've been in his hands my whole life, and I still am today. And no matter what happens, I'm in Jesus' hands. If it's his will to heal me, if it's not, it's all up to Jesus." Wow. That is a man set free from the fear of death. But what about those times in our lives when no matter how hard we try or want to, taking courage and having hope just isn't in the cards? You know those moments. I know I should take courage. I know I should have hope. But today, there is no hope. And all I feel is fear. Tell me the truth all you want. I just don't feel it today. What about those moments? Our passage continues. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, who can take courage for today and have hope for tomorrow, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. When life gets hard and painful, fix your thoughts on Jesus. When the temptations roll in and threaten to overwhelm you, fix your thoughts on Jesus. When the suffering comes with such force, it takes your breath away. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. When the fear of death sucks your motivation and desire right out of your bones, fix your thoughts on Jesus. When you are ready to give up, fix your thoughts on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, because no matter where you are in your walk with Him, whether you are just starting out having given your life to Christ, whether you're seeking to figure out who this Christ is, whether you've been walking for Jesus for decades, He's not done with you yet. He's not done with the person next to you in the pew either. We are all a work in progress. We should all walk around with signs that say, under construction. You would look really weird if you did that, but it'd be true. We are a house under construction. And Jesus has the blueprints. And He knows exactly what He's doing. As Peter writes in his epistle, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, we are the bricks that are being used to build God's house. As our passage today concludes in verse 6, Christ is faithful as a son over God's house. And we are His house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Brothers and sisters, the atoning work of Jesus Christ isn't just a theological premise. It is the ground of the assurance of our salvation. It is the reason we can take courage in the face of temptation and suffering today. And it is the source of the hope we have in facing a tomorrow, freed from the slavery that comes from the fear of death. May God bless each one of us as we seek to live a life knowing that we are able to take courage and have hope, because we know God isn't done with us yet, because the atoning work of Jesus in our lives and in our world. Amen. Would you please pray with me? Lord God, what wondrous love is this that You have poured out on us, that You would send Your Son, Jesus Christ, to live a perfect life, to die a death He was never meant to die, a death that paid the price for our sins, that restored our relationship with You, that defeated the power of death in our lives and in this world, and has given us the courage for today and the hope for tomorrow. What can we do but fall on our knees at the foot of Your cross and say, thank You, thank You, thank You. Lord, may Your atoning work not just be a belief we hold in our heads, but a present and living reality that infuses every aspect of our lives every day. In Your precious and holy Son's name we pray. Amen.